A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display? I eventually had to go down to the cellar. That's the display department. With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 53. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television. And today we are talking about The Stone Tape. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
A group of scientists are trying to create a new recording medium to replace tape. And while they do that, they find some strange and disturbing things.
They do indeed. And those strange and disturbing things are brought to us by one of our favourites, a favourite writer here on British Invaders, Nigel Neal, who wrote this Christmas ghost story for the BBC, which was first broadcast on Christmas Day 1972 as a 90-minute standalone TV film or play. And that's what we're going to be going into some detail about in two shows here.
That's right. The Stone Tape was interesting in that it mixed science and the supernatural. It took this supernatural phenomenon of a ghost appearing and looked at it through the eyes of scientists and said, here is this phenomenon. Let's look at it with science and figure out what it does. So it was a great blend of science fiction and ghost stories. It also dealt with the future of technology and the idea that tape as a recording medium would have to be replaced by something, and the search for this new type of technology. So that was interesting as well.
So interesting stuff from Nigel Neal, and as you say, had lots of influences. And we'll kick off the story with the setup, which is the group of scientists that you've mentioned, Brian, who are all working for this big electronics firm, and they're moving into a new research facility. And this is going to be based in a converted Victorian country house, a sort of like large mansion called Taskerlands. And so right at the start, we see them moving their equipment and their various personnel into this building.
And as they're moving into Taskerlands, we realize that not only is this Victorian mansion old, but it's been lying derelict for something like 30 years. They are rebuilding and reconstructing parts of Taskerlands, so it's quite a big project for them to get it ready for this company, Ryan Electronics, that will be doing this research work. Ryan Electronics is clearly coming in with their best research and development team. They're giving them lots of space and lots of budget. So this is clearly meant to be the team that will define the future of how this company will be successful. A big part of this is about competing with the Japanese electronics companies. And this was Nigel Neal in his typical style, tapping into the current ideas and concerns that the public had, that the British industry and the technology industry in particular was going to have problems competing against emerging industry in other parts of the world, in particular in Japan. This also unfortunately led to there being some rather pointed racist content in the Stone Tape, which is quite unfortunate, and it's too bad that it's there. However, the show is good enough that it's worth looking past that.
Yes, I mean, it is, it's of its time in a way, and there are those elements which do stand out now when we watch it with modern eyes. As you say, it was perhaps a comment on the society at the time when so many people were worried about their jobs and the competition with overseas firms. So as you say, they've moved into this derelict building, which has been completely refitted inside to accommodate their research laboratories and their computers and everything. But they soon discover that one of the rooms, which was going to be a computer storage room, has not been finished. And we find out sort of almost within the first few scenes that the reason it's not being finished is that the builders refused to work in there and they just abandoned work on this particular room. So I think straight away we get the suspicion that something's not quite right about this building, about this house, Taskerlands.
We get the idea that there is something in this specific room that is strange and has caused people to see and hear these strange things. We also find out that this room is very old. The rest of the house was built on top of it, and this room may in fact date back to Saxon times. So this room is ancient, and it appears to be haunted. So we get the idea that we have these scientists who are examining this haunting, what appears to be this ghost here, and they are technology experts, and they will do all these things to try to discover what is going on here, and what is this thing that we perceive as a ghost? How will these scientists deal with it? These are the questions that the Stone Tape poses.
Okay, so shall we run through the characters of the Stone Tape? You've mentioned the first person to encounter the events, who's a young woman called Jill Greeley, and she was played by Jane Asher. And her job with the research team is as the computer programmer. So she has quite an important job with them, but she also appears to be quite sensitive. And so she seems to be the first person to experience the strange events in this room. Although very soon afterwards, most of the others will also see and hear what she can see and hear.
Yes, Jill spends almost the entire show being very unsettled, at first because she has a near car accident as she's coming up to the construction site where they're working on Tasker Lands, and later because of what she sees. I thought the actress, Jane Asher, actually did the unsettled thing quite well.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. She does. We've got this idea that we've come across before, that computers can predict so much more than perhaps we now know that they're able to do. So they turn to the computer at several times to model what's happening and to try and give them some interpretation of what it could all mean. And she's in charge of that, of inputting the data and of getting it out and interpreting it for the group of scientists. So it's quite interesting. And she's romantically involved with one of the characters as well, it seems.
Yes, she is romantically involved with Peter Brock, played by Michael Bryant. Brock is married, which leads to some obvious complications. He is also the project leader. He's the one pushing things forward, and he is loud and brash and generally not a nice guy, kind of a jerk as a boss for everyone. But because he's pushing things, he in fact is driving the story much of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. He drives the story and he drives his team on, doesn't he? He's very sort of committed to their cause and to finding out what's going on and to making their breakthrough with their recording technology that they're after. And he does so in a quite loud and noisy way, and he orders people around. It's a very sort of 70s boss in a way, isn't it?
Yes, it is. We also have Roy Collinson, played by Ian Cuthbertson. We talked about Ian Cuthbertson before in Children of the Stones. He was good in that, and he's good in this as well. The character is sometimes referred to as Collie, and he is the site manager in charge of Tasker Lands, and he has some knowledge of local culture. He knows that there is something wrong and maybe even something strange in this room. He is the calm and empathetic character that acts as a foil to Peter Brock and his brashness.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, he sort of calms things down from time to time, but he's a lot calmer towards Jill when she's obviously so deeply troubled by what's going on. And then we've got the team of scientists, quite a sort of mixed bunch, really, of scientists. They're all very quite keen and excitable, and they're very noisy when they arrive. They're led by perhaps one of the more senior researchers, a chap called Eddie Holmes, who was played by a very popular British TV actor called Michael Bates. And he was actually working in the character of Eddie Holmes, was working on something called a digital crystal recording technology, although I think that gets put aside as the team move on with their trying to find some new way of recording. But as I say, it's quite a bunch of scientists, young scientists. Amongst them, we can spot a very young James Cosmo, who will also turn up later on in British Invaders, because he played the police sergeant when we discussed Nightmare Man.
That's right.
An interesting actor who I like to see popping up from time to time.
Yes, there were some interesting actors in the group of scientists, and they gave the impression that there was a bit of a party atmosphere there, that all of these people liked their jobs, and they were there having fun doing this work and finding solutions to these problems.
That's right, yep.
Welcome to Tasker Lands.
Thank you!
It doesn't look much now, but wait till it's finished, then you get the full horror.
Don't put them off.
Everybody know Roy Collinson, house master and bunny mother? Any problems connected with the move, finding digs in the area, housing wives and harems?
Well, see, Collie.
Why is it called that?
Taskerlands.
Yes, what's it mean?
What?
Well, it was built by a man called Tasker.
Original! Like it! Thank you.
And these were his lands. He made a fortune out of iron railings.
It's not ancient, then, Mark.
Sorry to disappoint. No, it was built about 1880. Mostly owned by the one family, requisitioned during the Second World War by the American forces, derelict ever since.
Oh, right, let's butter their paws. I mean, lift! Soon to operate, I hope. My office is up there.
And very palatial.
Of course, a wimpy boss. Yeah. Reception desk with Sergeant Patterson. Ooh. Sergeant, get to know these faces.
Hmm? I know some already, sir.
From here on, we're secret. So no chums
we
in,
soon
no
get to the crucial point in the story where we find that there is an old set of steps in this old room below the house that goes up to what used to be a second level that is no longer there. These steps had been paneled over as if to hide them. And very soon, Jill sees this image, this apparition of a woman walking up the steps and screaming and falling to her death. And it's this apparition that moves things forward in the story. And it appears a number of times, and different people see it and hear it, and some people are more sensitive to seeing it and hearing it than others.
Yeah, that's it. And we obviously get the idea that this is what the builders experienced to some extent, and this is what drove the builders out of this room and led them not to finish it. And this is what's delaying the scientists getting on with their computer installation. And there's mention made of the fact that the builders found a letter, a Christmas letter, in the room, which Jill reads out at one point. And I think it's the only seasonal connection, really, to this Christmas ghost story on the BBC. This letter, apparently from a child, that's been left in this room. And I think it says something like, "All I want for Christmas is for you to go away."
That was the only Christmas reference in the Stone Tape. So I think it was really not intended to be only a Christmas teleplay. And it doesn't look like it takes place at Christmas. It looks more like it takes place in the spring or in the summer.
Yes, I think so. Certainly from the outdoor scenes, it doesn't appear to be winter. So they have some more information from this letter, but then they start to look into this a bit more, and Brock and Jill go to the local pub and speak to some of the locals, who tell them some more information about this house, Taskerlands, and about some of the legends that surround the house. And it's very much like a scene in the inn in a sort of Hammer horror film, which is perhaps quite appropriate for the stuff we're talking about, with the locals, the innkeeper, telling a bit more information and giving some guarded warnings about Taskerlands and what may have gone on there in the past.
Jill and Brock also went to talk to the local vicar about the Tasker family who lived on Tasker lands. And they start to learn about some unusual events there as well, including an unsuccessful exorcism sometime in the past. So there are lots of ideas, not about there being a ghost there, but about there being the perception of a ghost in this room.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, there's even mention, as you say, of the exorcism and this idea that there is something that's gone on at Taskerlands and that it appears as a ghost of this young woman. But this is where they reach their sort of breakthrough, where the team of scientists, and Brock in particular, realizes or decides that perhaps it isn't a ghost at all, and that what has happened is that in some way the room has acted as a recording of past events. And he gets terribly excited about this when he sort of like comes up with this realization. And this is where the title sort of comes in, as you mentioned earlier, Brian, this idea that in some way the room had actually taped past events, and that the room itself is literally the stone tape of the title. And that these strange experiences that so many of them have actually witnessed now may not be a ghost as such, but may just be recordings echoing down through the years.
This is where we get into the idea of scientists analyzing what appears to be a ghost. And it's also where we start seeing the different scientists using their different specialties, including Jill, who is doing this computer modeling, which is what inspired this idea for Brock and the others, that it was the stone in the walls that was recording events like a magnetic tape would. So this was the stone tape.
Yeah, and it's, you know, what started out being quite unnerving and scary suddenly becomes much more interesting and scientific when the scientists decide to approach this phenomenon as a sort of scientific project to find out what is going on and to throw their scientific instruments and experience at these strange events that they're witnessing. Now, we won't give too much away, but it doesn't stay quite so scientific as the program progresses. But it was quite interesting that Nigel Neal had this idea of mixing science with the supernatural.
Yes, I think that was actually an interest of his for many years. The BBC has a tradition of running ghost stories on Christmas Day. And in 1972, they decided to give Nigel Neal the opportunity to tell that year's ghost story in dramatic form.
Yeah, that's right. He was handed the opportunity by a gentleman called Christopher Moorahan, who was head of BBC Two drama at the time. But he was very familiar with Nigel Neal's work because he'd actually directed an earlier Nigel Neal play nearly 10 years earlier in 1963, when he directed a Nigel Neal script called The Road. Now, unfortunately, The Road doesn't survive, so we can't watch it now, but we know it was another ghost story with ideas of events echoing through time, but with an interesting, perhaps, mixture again of science and supernature. And it was Christopher Moorahan who approached Nigel Neal to write this Christmas piece, which would become the Stone Tape.
So Nigel Neal visited the BBC's research and development unit and found that there were a bunch of these R&D technology type people working in this old country house in Surrey. And they had this sort of party atmosphere with lots of camaraderie, and they were working on developing these new things, as the BBC certainly did at that time. When he saw that, he wanted to develop something with a similar type of scenario for his ghost story, and that was what he did for the Stone Tape. Nigel Neal had an interest in the meeting of science and the supernatural. We saw it with The Road in 1963, which dealt with a haunting of a sort that was an image thrown across time by a cataclysmic event. And we saw it even earlier in 1958 and 59 in Quatermass and the Pit, which dealt with alien artifacts that had certain types of effects on people, which inspired ghost stories. So it was the third time in the Stone Tape that Nigel Neal took the supernatural and examined it and explained parts of it with science and with science fiction.
Well, as you say, he put all these elements together and he came up with a script which he initially called The Breakthrough, but then he changed the title to The Stone Tape, as we now know it. And Christopher Moorahan at BBC Two handed the production to Innes Lloyd, who had a very long history of British television production work, but he's perhaps, I think, best known to us on British Invaders for being the third or part of the third production team on Doctor Who. And I think I'm right, Brian, in that he's often credited with coming up with the idea of the Doctor's regeneration as a way of dealing with the replacement of William Hartnell as the first Doctor. And I think he was one of the chaps who came up with the idea.
Yes, I think that's right. The Stone Tape was directed by Peter Sasdy, who has done a lot of British TV and quite a bit of genre work as well. He did some episodes of Out of the Unknown, which was an old British anthology series. He directed some Hammer horror films, and he also directed the movie version of Doomwatch.
And the BBC moved to Horsley Towers in Surrey, which is the Victorian mansion that we see in the exterior shots, and they did the outside sort of filming there. I don't think there's many outdoor shots, but there's a few which established the building of Taskerlands, and so this place, Horsley Towers, stood in for Taskerlands. And then I think they took the main production back to the BBC Television Centre in London, and they must have rushed through this because they didn't actually start production until the 15th of November 1972, and yet 6 weeks later it was all finished and edited and broadcast on Christmas Day. So quite a rapid production, I think, Brian.
Yes, that was something that the BBC could certainly do at the time, because the style of production that was done in the UK at that time was a multi-camera production where they would do a rehearsal period for the actors first, and then they would record each scene as a whole scene usually, with several cameras at it. And in many cases, they would only have to perform a scene once, and then they would have everything they need, or they would need to perform it twice if there were mistakes that were made, and so on. The modern style that TV and film is done in now is quite different, where they usually use a single camera, and instead of doing whole scenes, they'll do brief clips, and they'll record from each angle separately, and they'll record very brief snippets with different actors so they can put everything together and get the type of fast-paced drama that you have now and do it without this rehearsal time beforehand. Well, what they were doing in the 70s and 80s and earlier in the UK, especially at the BBC, is they did these multi-camera things and it gave you something that was much more theatrical because each scene was being performed much like it would be on stage. The Stone Tape had some great, eerie, original music that was written by Desmond Briscoe, and it was performed by the Radiophonic Workshop, who are famous for doing all kinds of electronic effects and sounds, and did some great stuff on Doctor Who, including the original theme for Doctor Who, and many other shows, and they certainly did some good stuff here.
Yeah, the music is absolutely fantastic. I mean, so many times we're seeing this on British Invaders that the theme music really sets the tone, and whenever I hear the music starting at the start of this film and see the title sequence, it certainly puts me in the mood and reminds me quite what sort of creeps and scares are to come.
Yes, it does have that effect. And the lighting is also very dark and moody and very effective. It's harder for production teams to do that, but it was really used very well here.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks fantastic, really, considering the limitations that they were dealing with.
Yes. They also did some graphics for the opening title sequence with oscilloscope displays and things from measuring equipment and computers and these various things that they used in the story. They used some of the graphics there too, and it gave a very 1972 high-tech look that was really quite neat.
Yeah, I still think it looks fantastic, the opening titles with the, as you say, the weird waveforms going across the screen and this fantastic music from the Radiophonic Workshop. And it's just, I mean, we've talked about some very scary intros right back to Doctor Who and Children of the Stones. And recently we've talked about the eerie music on Neverwhere. And this was another one for me that where the music and the titles just really a fantastic piece of television.
They did work well, as did those elements throughout the show.
Yeah. So they put this all together, this six-week production, quite a rapid production, mostly shot, as I say, in the BBC studios, and they got it all out, broadcast on Christmas Day 1972. We presume it must have been shown later on in the evening, because it was obviously quite a scary ghost story, and as you say, they'd want to have the hours of darkness for it as well, just to get people completely in the mood.
I think that's what the BBC tends to do with their ghost story productions.
So that will wrap up our first part of our discussion on the Stone Tape. Please come back and join us next time. We're going to be discussing some of the reaction and responses to the Stone Tape when it was first broadcast and since. And we're going to talk a bit more about the story that's happening with this group of researchers and their breakthrough that they've made or they think they've made.
And we'll also talk a little bit more about the production side and some of the people who were involved with making this happen. People like Nigel Neal, Jane Asher, Ian Cuthbertson, Michael Bryant, and maybe one or two others. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.BritishInvaders.com. We also have a Facebook group, so if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find us there. Thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Come back and join us next time. This is Eamon from England saying goodbye for now.